107 FM Talk 106.5, and it is Mobile Mornings on this Tuesday. Glad to have you here. Hey, if you get a chance, check out the 1-800-GOT-JUNK online opinion poll question. Would you support a federal gas tax increase with funds going towards infrastructure? That discussion going on in Washington. Yeah, I know you said we just did that. No, you did that at a state level. Feds are talking about it as well. And speaking of 1-800-GOT-JUNK, time to make that appointment is right now. You want to get it done, get those honeydews off your list before the weekend's here so you can go out and go outside, go fishing, do something other than go play golf, whatever. Other than the honeydews, if they involve moving junk, getting rid of junk, get the pros to do it. 1-800-GOT-JUNK. That's my buddy Trey and his crew. They work in Mobile County, Baldwin County. Not only residential, you think about them for cleaning out stuff in your house or attic or around the house, like swing sets and storage sheds and all that, but they can do the same thing at your business. If you have junk piled up, you need it gone, maybe clear up space for new employees. So you're expanding your business, got new people coming in, get them some space and get rid of the junk. Pretty easy. Pick up the phone and call 1-800-GOT-JUNK or go online to 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com and make that appointment. And what I really do love is they understand you are busy, so they give you an appointment time on a certain day. It's not one of those deals where they'll be there sometime between Tuesday and Friday between 8 a.m. and 5 p.m. They're going to give you an actual day and actual time. That's when they show up. They look at the job, they quote you a price, and if you agree, well, then they get to work and do it quickly. 1-800-GOT-JUNK online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. All right, it is a Tuesday, and we check in with Quinn Hillier from QuinnHillier.com and also the author of the Mad Jones Heretic Trilogy. Hey, Quinn.
Hello, guys. How y'all doing?
Doing good. Doing good. And I have a lot to talk about this morning, and you and I got to visit a little bit real quickly last week when we were at that API event, and then, and this is funny, I want your take on it, when Senator Sessions was speaking. You want to correct me?
What about it?
Well, it's the interesting, you know, you usually, right, we call people by the last title of a job they had. So, if I'm doing it right, I would call him Attorney General Sessions. But to me, he's still Senator Sessions to me. So, I mean, that's even though I know I'm incorrect, I'm going
to
address.
He is, too. Yeah, to me, too. And plus, there's a debate about whether general is a correct title for an attorney general, because, of course, it's a completely different thing. There's a problem with what is the correct title for an attorney general.
I don't know that, so I just go back to, I call him Senator Sessions.
Yeah, well, I do too.
A couple of things I would talk about, because you've written in defense of Jeff Sessions, a couple of the stories over at QuinnHillier.com. Number one, let's get to this last week, because this was a story you had posted up right before I went out to hear the former senator speak down at the battleship, and that was John Dowd swings and misses at former AG Jeff Sessions. This Dowd thing was, I mean, I explain why John Dowd, what was the benefit of John Dowd coming out and just attacking Jeff Sessions?
Well, it was a longer ranging interview. He talked about a whole lot of things. It wasn't just about Jeff Sessions, but there was a paragraph in the interview where he just unloaded on Sessions, and it was completely off base, because he went on and on about how just horrible it was for Sessions to have recused himself, sounding like the president, but did not even address the main and really the only reason that Sessions addressed himself, which is that the ethics office, the official ethics office at the Justice Department, told him that he should. And so I say, okay, no matter what else you say, if you don't address that, then you're not, then you're just spouting off and you're not being honest. Because any attorney general, especially one who already went in as you know, controversial as Sessions, any attorney general that ignores the advice of the Office of Ethics within the Justice Department is going to get hounded from office in about 2 weeks flat. I mean, it's like saying, okay, somebody that jumped in a pool should not have jumped in a pool because he's going to get wet, without saying that, well, the reason he jumped in the pool is because a grizzly bear was trying to attack him. You know, I mean, it's just, it's so intellectually dishonest as to make me vomit.
And of course, not a good method because grizzly bears will take to water quickly. So, but I'm with you. And the frustration hearing people that would say, well, Jeff Sessions did this to bring down the president or something. Holy cow, Jeff Sessions, I mean, it's a Cyrano de Bergerac moment. Jeff Sessions' ideas about Main Street populism is exactly what President Trump ran on and won with. And I get frustrated that he was some kind of Manchurian candidate, like, or, you know, some kind of mole in there. It's ridiculous.
Well, it is, especially because, as I pointed out in my second column on Sessions, which was partly but not entirely based on his speech that night, he actually did a great job at carrying out the president's agenda. I mean, if you put aside the idea that Sessions is somehow responsible for, you know, Trump getting caught up in the Russia investigation, which is total, utter BS, if you set aside that and just look at what Sessions actually did, he carried out Trump's agenda to a T, even on areas that I wish he wouldn't. But he was superb at first of all, supporting Department of Homeland Security on the immigration stuff by increasing the number of immigration judges, by doing the stuff that was within the purview of the Justice Department. He also did a great job of reinvigorating the federal support for crime fighting. Now, most criminal law is state and local, but there were federal programs to support the men in blue. And of course, the Obama administration has spent the whole time painting police as, you know, basically evil, as a Gestapo or something like that. And Sessions reversed that and brought back some Bush-era programs that supported the police, and the spike in crime that started the last 3 years under Obama has already been reversed. Now, that's pretty darn good. And I could go down a list of other things that Jeff Sessions did to help clean out the Justice Department, clean it out of the liberal... I'm not saying just liberal policy, but the sort of the internal liberal, let's ignore the law and make it an ideological department kind of thing. He started to clear that out and did a great job. And to not give him any credit for that is just, it's sickening.
Quinn, during Sessions' speech last week, did he bring up the Russia investigation at all? And did he speak fondly about his time as an attorney general at all? Or was it all kind of, was he bitter in any way?
He didn't sound bitter. As a matter of fact, he was sort of humorous and self-deprecating. He never addressed the Russia thing directly, but he made one sort of veiled reference to it. He said, and I quote, "I expected from the start, that my job would entail lots of controversies," and then he chuckled and he said, "Well, I can say in that regard it even exceeded my expectations." But I did my best. And then he did speak sort of fondly of when he started talking about all the things he thought that the Justice Department accomplished under his watch. And again, he never really said "I." He kept saying "we" and "the Justice Department did this," and "the Justice Department did that," because he's not a self-centered guy. But he clearly wanted to get his story out there and to get his record out there for a second look. But to answer your question, he did not directly address Russia.
Yeah, I thought he was, like you said, it was amazingly positive. I was listening to him speak, and I said, he's above the fold, and I guess I shouldn't expect anything else out of Senator Sessions. He was beyond reproach in his commentary. He did not attack anybody, and he, like you said, he spent the time talking about, hey, look at all the stuff we got done. Look at all the things that were part of the Trump agenda that we got done when I was in office, or as a crew. I thought it was very positive.
Oh, it was very positive. It was, of course, just typically classy. Mm-hmm. Classy is the word for it, because Jeff Sessions, is a class act, and he showed it last Thursday night in Mobile. Now, I don't want to even say, though, that the entire speech was just about what he did at the Justice Department.
No, no, there was a lot.
Two-thirds of the speech, but the first third of the speech, he actually did a really good job not only saying good things about the Alabama Policy Institute, and you had Rachel on mm-hmm. last week, the day after, and that was great, but he also made sort of a philosophical point that culture comes before the law, and that we need to not just worry about, you know, passing laws, but we need to worry about how what we do affects the culture. And I thought he did that in a very brief but very powerful way. Again, in a way that set up an understanding of what he was trying to accomplish while looking at the cultural things trying to accomplish as AG.
I agree. It was well done. But it was, you know, talking not directly with Jeff Sessions, but with others around there, it was not some sort of launch for a run at his old job. I didn't feel that was part of it at all.
No, I didn't feel so either. I asked him what he's going to be doing next, and he chuckled. He said, oh, there's still a lot of leftover work on my desk. And I think he's also enjoying his grandkids, but I don't think he knows exactly what his next professional step is, if there will be one. We will see about that, but it certainly didn't sound like somebody running for Senate.
Yeah, I didn't get that either. I didn't get he was going to get back in. I didn't feel that. The people that should be in the know said they didn't think it was going to happen, and listening to you, you don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, I was, you know, when he first stepped down in November, I thought that he would take about a month and a half off, get through the Christmas break, and then say, you know what, I want to go out on my own terms, not by looking like I'm being forced out. And I thought he might run again, but now I don't think so.
You know, and this is going to be just armchair quarterbacking without it ever playing. Well, maybe it'll play out one day, but not probably in 2020. I have a feeling, though, number one, that some bigger players getting in tell me that they know Jeff Sessions is not getting in. But if Jeff Sessions got back in, I have a feeling, even with the negativity that's associated with his name for a lot of Trump supporters, I think he could come right back in and win Senate again.
Well, there's a good question about that. If you just talk to people in South Alabama, where he's from, you would think he would be a shoo-in. I'm hearing different things about northern Alabama and rural Alabama, where, you know, Trump attacked him again and again and again, and they're such Trump fans that, you know, I've heard different things, but I've heard of at least one survey somewhere that showed that Sessions really took a hit, even in Alabama, because of Trump's attacks on him.
That's amazing. Because when he left his job, I mean, he couldn't have been more popular with Republicans in Alabama, right? I mean, when he left the Senate to go take the AG's job, he could not have been. The numbers were through the roof.
He was more popular, I think, by polling. I could be wrong. If I'm wrong, it was close. More popular than George Wallace, at the height of George Wallace. And this was for better reason, obviously.
Right.
Sessions had done a great job as a senator, had represented us well, become a force in Washington without ever losing his integrity. And he was tremendously popular. That's why I thought, you know, that if he got back in, he would be a shoo-in. I would still love to see him back in the Senate, but, you know, maybe not.
All right, Quinn, remind folks the website and where they go to get your latest work, and let's talk about the books as well.
Well, you can go to quinnhilliard.com, and I update it once a week with everything that I've written, but almost all of it now is at Washington Examiner. So if you Google Quinn Hilliard and Washington Examiner, you'll get it. And then I've got a trilogy of fun novels. They're satire. It's Mad Jones Heretic is the first one. They're all called Mad Jones something or other, and they are at Amazon. Please read them and give them a good review on the Amazon site.
Very good. Quinn, we appreciate your time. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, Quinn Hilliard, checking in. We're going to check in with you coming up next at 343-0106. What do you think if Jeff Sessions got back in? Would he win Senate 2020? 827, FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. We'll give you a heads up about the folks over at Grove. Grove makes healthier home products accessible and affordable. Over 500,000 families shop at grove.co. Not .com, y'all, .co, for non-toxic dish soap and plant-based skincare and a bunch of other great eco-friendly products, making your house clean, but also keeping those chemicals out. Grove makes it easy to find the best natural, eco-friendly products online and delivers them straight to your door so you can make better choices for your family with just one click. Everything available at Grove is healthier for you and the planet, and it really works, and that's the key. Like, we wanted the products that had less chemicals or no chemicals in our house. At the same time, we wanted stuff to work, and the missus is sold on this for sure now, and I'm on board as well. Grove delivering natural brands you'll love, like Mrs. Meyer's, Seventh Generation, Burt's Bees, and Grove products straight to your doorstep. In our order we got a couple weeks ago, we got a whole bunch of stuff, but two of the things that really stood out to me. Number one, the spearmint smelling antibacterial bathroom cleaner. Use it like on the shower, the bathtub, and all that in there, and also on the countertops. And then all around the house, we've really gotten into the Mrs. Meyer Spring Multi-Surface Spray. It does a great job of cleaning, has a great smell, and it does, okay, for like on granite countertops that are tough to clean without having that cloudy haze to it, it cleans it fantastically. The stuff is great. Right now, you can try Grove before their exclusive spring offer runs out. For a limited time, y'all can get a three-piece cleaning set from Mrs. Meyer Spring Scents, a free 60-day VIP membership, and a surprise bonus gift just when you sign up and place an order of $20 or more. It's an incredible deal. You get so much free stuff. Check it out right now with Grove. And the special offer, to get it, you go to grove.co/mobile. So it's grove.co, drop the M, no.com, grove.co/mobile. All right, 828, we'll grab some text and some calls here. Just one of the subjects up, and that's what we're talking to Quinn about. If Jeff Sessions did decide to run for 2020, which it does not sound like he's doing, does he win? I will say there's probably some tells here when Congressman Bradley Byrne announced that he was running for Senate. I don't know. I have no inside information, just what my feelings are. I had a feeling that he had some kind of confirmation that Jeff Sessions wouldn't run, or he wouldn't have launched a campaign.
I just, unless Sessions, so say he did run, unless he got the president's blessing, I have trouble believing that that he would have a chance to win again. I mean, I think he'd have a
chance.
It's
so weird, too. It's so weird. Yeah, I mean, like I talked about with Quinn, he left office as like most popular senator ever in Alabama, and now it's questionable whether he could win the seat back.
I just think there's so many Trump supporters, diehard Trump supporters, that look at whatever the president says to think, and then they're on that
train. But what
changed?
I mean, did anything actually change with Jeff Sessions from the time that y'all loved Jeff Sessions to now? Did something change how he would be as a senator?
I think so many people are upset that he recused himself from the Russia investigation.
And so they punish him that way.
That they would not want him in office again in Alabama. But I think if he were to be the senator, I mean, I think we have some good choices that are lining up right now. But he spent so long in that seat, and I think he would quickly work himself back up, back up the ladder as far as power in Washington. I think it'd be great for the state, and I think he is a really good politician, and he does things by his book, by how things are supposed to be done, according to what he thinks. But I think Trump would have to, I guess, forgive him to have a chance in Alabama.
All right, we can talk about that some more. Plus, you know, we'll talk about Tubbs 2020. That's what's keeping Jeff Sessions out. Tuberville in the mix. That and a whole lot more on the way right here on Mobile Mornings. Love to hear from you. 343-0106. News is next.
Thank you, Kane. 837 on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings, Tuesday style. And right now it's time to head over to McConnell Automotive, where we talk to Mitch McConnell. Hey, Mitch.
Good morning, Dalton. Happy Tuesday to everybody.
Yeah, happy Tuesday. Hey, what's going on at McConnell Automotive? I hear there is a big April sale.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite ones of the year. It's kind of like the Masters Week. You know, I get into that. And, you know, we wait a lot, Dalton, on the manufacturer. I think if everybody checks our prices over the last 60-something years, they'll see that we can meet or beat anybody's price anywhere. But these deals are just special, buddy, because they're coming from the manufacturer. And an example is, if you work for General Motors, Dalton, that's what you would be paying for a truck if you came to McConnell Automotive here this month. And so we've got over $13,000 off the sticker price of these remaining 2018 Z71s is a perfect example. And man, I hope everybody takes advantage of this, because it applies to UConn, it applies to Acadia. It's pretty much everything we have, including Buick Enclaves and the little SUV that we sell so many, the Buick Encore. You know, less than $20,000 for a brand new Buick. How about that?
You seriously can't beat those deals anywhere. And a great place to check out the entire inventory, McConnellAutomotive.com.
Yeah, two C's, two N's, two L's, but let Google do the walking for you. And, man, we just appreciate everybody's support. People are already hurrying down to take advantage of it, Dalton. So we appreciate everybody checking it out.
All right, and we appreciate you, Mitch. Have a great day.
You too, buddy. Y'all stay dry.
That's Mitch McConnell. Make sure you go see him and the crew at McConnell Automotive. You'll find them on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65.
All right, looking through a couple texts here about would you vote for, and it does not sound like, from what I'm getting, that, and I'm still going to call him Senator Sessions, will run for his old gig. But Donnie says Sessions has my vote, class act. This is interesting. Ben says if Sessions doesn't run, which candidate does he back? You know, I don't know that he comes out. I have a feeling who he would back, but I don't want to put words in his mouth.
A local guy?
Yeah. That's if at any, he may do no endorsement.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I would wait on that one.
Did you get the sense, now Sessions, I mean, we talked about before he got the nod to be Attorney General, that seemed to be his life goal. He wanted to be Attorney General more than anything.
Sure.
And he was a great senator in Alabama. But did you get the sense during his speech last week that he's tired of political life at all?
Yeah. No.
No?
No, I mean, I didn't sense that. I mean, he's saying the right things, wants to spend time, and I believe him. I mean, if the guy says it, I believe he's enjoying time with the grandchildren and all that. I get that. But he probably has, I don't know. I don't want to put words in his mouth.
Yeah.
But I have a feeling that he's still fully engaged in what's going on in the country. I want to run through two more of these texts, I think. This one, Aaron in Alberta, Aaron says, this is good. I am 100% behind the president. I feel that Trump has been handicapped somewhat by the Democrats and the biased media, but I also believe Jeff Sessions did a great job, and I would definitely vote for him. See, that balanced thought process there from Aaron, that's what I'm interested in, those kind of opinions. Does, you know, can you see both sides, or is it just one way or the highway with you on this? And once again, Sessions most likely is not going to be running, but would you, in that case, vote for him? And I think it's interesting, too, if we look forward to the importance of 2020 Senate. This is all about what happens with that other Senate seat in Alabama. Right now, Richard Shelby, Senator Shelby, I would argue is one of the most, and I don't think many people argue back with me, one of the most powerful people in Washington. Mm-hmm. He is head of Senate Appropriations. Y'all, that's a big deal. It's a big deal. And the tenure, and you know, we talked about it before when it was Senator Sessions and Senator Shelby, how far Alabama punched above its weight class because of the tenure and the committee assignments for Sessions and Shelby. Obviously, when Sessions took the AG job, it went back to zero there with Doug Jones and that, and now it's the new boy there. We will have either Doug Jones, which I don't believe will happen, holding on to the seat in 2020, or the new boy will be a Republican. It could be a new girl, but just in general, new boy in town. They will show up there. They're going to be at zero. Then you worry about Shelby is at least slightly telegraphed that he may not run again. What scares me, and this is just, y'all, this is the problem with idealism versus pragmatism. Idealistically, people argue, you know, you need to throw all the bums out, you need to restructure, and I get it. I get the feeling, I get the spirit of it. But the way the game is played right now, until all the other states would do the same thing with their senators and their members of the House, I don't want Alabama to fall behind. And part of the game that is played, and I don't like the rules, but these are the rules as they stand, part of the way you play the game is with having tenure there, being there a long time. So Alabama is going to be in a situation where we went from just a year and a half, 2 years ago, to being punching way above our weight class in the Senate, to possibly here in 4 years, four years, to being one of the most junior set of senators in Washington. And if y'all don't think that makes a big difference, you're wrong. It does make a big difference.
Yeah, you could see just in the federal money that comes into Alabama from things that Shelby and Sessions brought to the state with their seniority there in Washington. There's going to be so much that goes on between now and the primaries for 2020 for that one Senate seat. And we'll still see who the president endorses. I have a good feeling that he's going to endorse somebody in the Republican race for that Senate seat.
And probably Tuberville? You think it's Tuberville?
I think he'll probably go for Tuberville. But how important will his endorsement be in Alabama?
This texter says, Jeff Sessions sat on his hands when he was supposed to be cleaning house. We can thank Richard Shelby for getting Doug Jones where he is. Yeah. I don't know. Can you have Richard Shelby's part of it? Probably. But there were a lot of circumstances that put Doug Jones into office. To say it's one thing, I probably will disagree with you. All right, let's go to the phones. And John in Spanish Fort is first up. Hey, John.
Good morning, John. How are you today?
Hey, morning, man. What's up?
Fine. The lone progressive voice in Spanish Fort giving you a call, trying to approach it from just a slightly different angle. I understand that you think Doug Jones' chance are in 2020
almost
like
win.
A snowball against the space heater.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Which Republican candidate do you think he would have a better chance against? Bradley Byrne, who has no name recognition outside of the state, or if Jeff Sessions to run, the national media would be down here in a heartbeat. And what would galvanize any sense of electorate that got him elected in the first place, although Roy Jones was a huge part of it. And I'll hang up and listen.
Roy Jones is the boxer, yeah, but we talking about Roy Moore or Doug Jones, but probably Roy Moore.
Could Roy Jones hop the border like Matt Gaetz was thinking about doing and run for Senate?
Again, to address John's question there, I believe that in any case, you put together an interesting premise, but in any case, I think Jeff Sessions wins. In any case, you're talking about Congressman Byrne's name recognition. Yeah, outside of Southwest Alabama, it's still good, and he is working on that right now. Lord knows I watch the people that do what we do here in the Birmingham market, in the Huntsville market, and they're, you know, you'll see them on Twitter. And it's Bradley Byrne's on that show. Their show's up there a whole bunch.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing what he's supposed to be doing, is making sure people know his name in other parts of the state other than down here in AL1. I get that. That's politic, and that's how it's done. One part of it that would be the flip side is if Mo Brooks gets into the mix, you know, if Representative Mo Brooks gets in, he has that name recognition in the northern part of the state, maybe not as much down here, although I'll say Mo Brooks has done a good job of keeping himself in the national news. That would probably bring another wrinkle into it. So who do you think Doug Jones would have the best chance against? I think it would be some kind of outside lane candidate that Doug Jones would have the best chance against. Now, is Roy Moore getting back in? He has not said no. He's not said no.
Mm-hmm.
He hadn't said yes, but he's not said no.
You know, with
He's not said no.
You'd think that the Doug Jones win, as miraculous as that was for the Democrat Party, you'd think it would have galvanized them and brought them together. But it seems like the Democrat Party is having a host of their own issues, and maybe the Republicans learned from what didn't work in that Roy Moore election.
Man, if we had some time, we may get to that here in the last segment. But for sure on future shows, and I'm trying to get some Democrats in the state to come on and talk about that, what's going on, the split and the rift inside the Alabama Democrat Party. FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings, Sean Dalton, Dr. Bill Kane, Kelly, the whole gang. Love to hear from you as well on the text line, 343-0106, 343-0106, also the phone number. We're going to hit a story here. We're talking about Jeff Sessions, of course. This will pivot, and this will segue into talking about weed.
Of course.
As I argued to people, too, you have to start sometimes think about things in an asymmetric way. I argued to proponents of legalized marijuana, recreational marijuana across the country, that Jeff Sessions was their best friend. And people said, what are you talking about? He's enforcing the laws of the land, which is what you should do. If you have a law, you should enforce it. If the law is not good, you get rid of the law.
Mm-hmm.
And in doing that, he would have forced the hand. See, that's all come back now. See, there's none of that going on like there was when Sessions was there. But if you enforce the federal marijuana laws, then you would put the pressure on the legislature to either legalize or rescind law. You would make them do their job. That would have been the best chance of having some kind of legalization across the country. But Jeff Sessions out, so therefore that can gets kicked down the road. So that segues into a local story. You heard our news partners, Jessica Tolan, he's been talking about it this morning, about the pot shop. Actually, not a pot shop. It's a hemp shop in Alberta, mm-hmm. right? And I like how they talk about it. Debuted during the Sausage Festival. Says here, the story from WKRG.com says the owner of a new hemp dispensary in Alberta is set to answer questions and concerns about his business at tonight's town hall or town council meeting. Alberta, small town in Baldwin County with a population of 1,700 people. So when a new business like this sets up shop, word gets around fast. They say in the story here, I think it was, it's Chad Petrie put the story up. What's up, Chad? It says, we spoke with Seedless Green owner Christian Butts on Sunday. Okay, can I take a side note here, too? If you're looking for a website, ChristianButts.com, there may be something there.
Go ahead and book it.
Christian, but can we buy that one over at GoDaddy before somebody else does? ChristianButts.com. But the owner, Christian Butts, he said they had a soft opening during last weekend's Sausage Festival and had a good response. He said their first clash with the town came when they put their sign up. Their realtor told them the giant marijuana leaf was attracting some unwanted attention, so they opted to take it down for the time being. Butts says all the hemp products they sell in the store are legal in Alabama. Tonight he's set to answer questions at the town council's work session starting at 6 p.m. Reaction has ranged from support to curiosity to criticism, and then News 5 will give us an update after the meeting tonight. So that's part of this discussion of hemp, and this also segues into a tease for Friday's show, and knock on wood that that's going to happen, because I've not talked to the man directly, but I've talked to his handler in Washington. That is Ag Commissioner Rick Pate, who, by the way, is just a kick in the pants, y'all. I mean, this guy from Lowndes County. Rick Pate is just, I could listen to the guy talk for days. And Rick's going to hopefully be on with us on Friday to talk about what the Department of Agriculture has done since the Farm Bill passed, which greenlighted a lot of, like we talk about the CBD in the state and those kind of things, which, by the way, politicians in the state regulators, it's CBD. CDB is the Charlie Daniels Band.
That's right.
It is CBD. Charlie Bravo Delta. You get state news, the CDB, and I said, that's Charlie Daniels.
Every single time the politicians get that mixed up. So I don't know what it is.
CBD, Charlie Bravo Delta. Okay. So with the green lighting that went on from the Farm Bill, we've talked a lot about the 0.03% THC CBD being legal in the state, even though the Attorney General had said there's some nuance to it. Then you have the legalization of growing hemp, which is not marijuana. It's the same kind of plant, but I think it's, I don't know if it's, it's the difference between sweet corn, between like some Silver Queen and some feed corn. I don't know enough about hemp to know is it a subtle difference? Is it a big difference? But through the Farm Bill, the Agriculture Department has now issued 180 permits for farmers in Alabama to grow hemp.
Mm-hmm.
Because hemp can be used for all kind of different things. And so that has been 180 people, and I don't know individual farms, 180 people have gotten this license to grow hemp in the state. So the Ag Commissioner hopefully will be on with us at noon on Friday to talk about this in depth. I got to tell you, number one, just as a subject of interest for all of us, I'm going to talk to him. Number two, I would like to see what I would have to do to, start tilling in some hemp. I don't know anything about growing it, but I got to ask him things like, is our soil and our climate conducive for it? Are they just doing it because there's such a profit margin? And those of you all in the ag world that are listening or come from an ag background know what I'm talking about. You could amend soil. You can amend soil to grow all kind of stuff on soil that it doesn't need to be growing that.
Mm-hmm.
You can put a lot of added, but you spend so much money getting that soil ready to grow. You know, there's reason that you're growing peanuts and cotton on certain kind of dirt. You're growing soybean in another kind of dirt. You're running cattle in another kind of dirt. It's the highest and best use of that soil and for what it'll grow. I just don't know, is the state of Alabama suited or not suited or medium here on growing hemp? But we're going to talk about that, hopefully, looks like Friday starting at noon on the midday show.
Yeah, there's a couple of things I'm really interested about with the rise of CBD and the rise of hemp in Alabama. And one thing is, you know, they do the flyovers to see if anyone has any grow farms for weed, and you can see the weed plants from the sky. I wonder how much the hemp farms will look like that and whether there'll be any, you know, false alarms there. But as far as marketing goes, and I think that's what got this Alberta store in so much trouble so early, is they piggyback off of the 420 weed look
right.
when they're not selling THC. And the same with all these CBD supplements. If you look online, they're all like, you know, groovy CBD. But you're not, it's not the same thing.
They're doing themselves a disservice, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
If you're trying to act like you're something you're not, and then you get negative attention for the thing you're acting like, then that's on you.
Yeah, and I see you brought in a flyer, and we're vape shops,
yes.
which sell the nicotine-flavored juice, no marijuana in there, but they are also piggybacking off of the rise of weed in America.
Yeah, this is a mailer that showed up at the Sullivan House, and it's a place that's not selling anything marijuana. That's illegal, but it's a 420 sale, celebration 420 sale. It leaves me scratching my head. A couple things here. Yes, James and Travis and others, I don't want to know exactly what they said, if they Googled Christian Butts and Sausage Festival, if they did what they would get.
Oh,
listen,
no.
guys, family show. Ronnie says the deer love it, and hemp, you know, I've heard that. Ronnie, I know people were growing some sun hemp, I think, to feed the deer, kind of a warm season planting. That's not good, because they'd be eating your profit then. No, but this will be on Friday, hopefully at noon. Because there's a lot of questions, seriously, outside the, it's hemp story. Are there opportunities for business for folks in Alabama that may want to try to grow another crop? And what about growing it? Who buys it? What's it take to grow it? I mean, all those kind of things. We'll talk about that on Friday's show. We'll be back to do Midday Mobile today at noon. Y'all have a great one.